The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too
excited. Her man look like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing. Josh, you just can't help yourself, Jen.
No,
just
never
can't help yourself. Just absolutely cannot help yourself. So Josh created a little bit of a storm yesterday on the interwebs, big guy. On one of the Barstool podcast Twitter pages, Barstool Big Cat, who has appeared on ESPN Milwaukee and Wisconsin a number of different times, good relationship with Mark Tauscher and... because he's a UW grad, so he's a Badgers fan, but also famously a Bears fan. And he sent out there was a tweet yesterday saying, a quote from Barstool Big Cat, I texted David Bakhtiari and I said, hello, David, would you be interested in playing for a team that needs offensive line help? If so, reply yes. If you'd like to stop receiving these messages, please reply stop. At least I'm out there trying. So obviously the Bears, despite them being 1-1, didn't put up their best effort offensively through their first two games. So Josh, you saw this, and what did you decide to do?
I responded with, is it still the best situation ever for a first overall pick? Because if that's still true, you might have scarier problems at hand. Implying that basically, if we remember the... popular thing to say about Caleb Williams and the Bears was, this is the best situation. He's got all these weapons. What first overall pick has ever come into a situation like the Chicago Bears? Now, if you look at the offensive production for Caleb Williams and that Bears offense, they've been sub Malik Willis, let's call it, in terms of he still doesn't have a passing touchdown. Keenan Allen, who everyone said, hey, he's good, but he's old and he gets hurt a lot. Already missing games, probably going to miss a couple. Roma Dunze also with an issue. My thought about the Bears the whole time was that Roma Dunze pick was like a luxury pick for a team that's not that close. The offensive line was an issue for them last year, and it continues to be this year. And what I'm getting at is I'm not ready to write off Caleb Williams by any stretch of the imagination.
Kind of seems like you are, though, by poking the bear.
I'm not ready to write him off.
You decided to put your neck out there that if Caleb Williams has like a hot four-game stretch, you kind of exposed yourself a little bit here, big guy.
Mm-hmm. That's the internet, Bubba. You got to take some shots. But I do think Caleb Williams needs to play quarterback in a way that I don't know if Caleb Williams is willing to right now. The whole run around and extend the pocket and kind of just do twirls out there and then find a guy deep downfield doesn't work in the NFL unless you are...
I mean, it does.
Lamar Jackson, unless you are one of the top-end athletes at that. Caleb Williams is a good athlete, especially in comparison to myself, but he's not Josh Allen. He's not Kyler Murray.
Well, no, but he's a better athlete than Aaron, and Aaron did that for years here in Green Bay.
Yes, and it takes a certain amount of, I don't know if he is going to be able to do what he is the best at doing, which is extending plays and kind of making throws while on the run, all that. So... it's kind of a two-part thing. Either it wasn't the best situation, and you guys were all wrong about that.
This is what they do. This is what Bears fans do, you know?
But, I mean, by the way, the reason why they're saying that is because it's very rare that a team that isn't the worst team has the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And that defense is very good. Because like, that was a part of it. Like, that defense is legit. Not a lot of questions about that defense. A lot of questions about their offense production because they're starting a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but all right, let me go back to a year earlier. Does he look more like C.J. Stroud or does he look like Bryce Young? He has not looked good.
So
I don't
far
care.
It's, so well, far no, it's but, Bryce,
yeah,
but that's two games.
And Jordan stunk for how many games last year?
No, I know that, but this is what Bears fans do. Playoffs. Definitely going to the playoffs. Yeah. You don't look like a playoff.
I have bookmarked the same tweet from that same account of them having them as a 12 or 11 win football team.
Yeah, no, I mean, they weren't going to be that. Because what C.J. Stroud did last year is just so incredibly rare. Like there were more things that Caleb Williams needed to do. And again, the Bears are going to have to coach him to do that. And I think that's part of why Josh doesn't believe in the Bears is, well, they have to have a coaching staff that's going to have him be able to be competent from the pocket. But, and, well, the Bears coaching staff is probably the biggest, even a bigger question mark than their offensive
line. So after two games, what do they look like? To me, they look like a 9-8.
Yeah, 500 team.
They don't look special.
And what annoys me about what we've seen take place is last year, during the year, the blame was being put on the coaching staff and not giving Justin Fields the proper play calling, all that. And they're trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, so far, your quarterback play hasn't been good enough. I'm not saying it's going to continue forever, but the guy hasn't thrown a touchdown pass through two games. He has all sorts of talent running around there with him. You guys paid all this money to DeAndre Swift. Like, the team isn't as good as everyone thought, and there was a lot of be worried about the Bears. They probably could they back into the playoffs?
Sure.
Sure. Do I think they're any threat in 2024? No.
But after 2 weeks,
by the way, any of those rookie quarterbacks have a touchdown pass yet?
Bo doesn't. Bo had probably my favorite press conference moment of the year.
I didn't see this one.
Oh, you didn't see this?
I only saw Bryce Young saying confident in God.
Jaden Daniels? Did he throw one?
No, because all they had were field goals in their way.
Yeah.
Like, I think they punted once.
Uh-huh.
And they had a bunch of scoring. They had 7 scoring drives, but they were all field goals. So Bo Nix, somebody in his press conference after the Broncos lost, hey, Bo, can you walk us through that interception in the end zone? Bo went, well, I dropped back, threw the ball to the other team.
Hey,
what else can you say? I don't think there's a follow-up.
Just all right.
All right, after 2 weeks, I'd put Dallas ahead of them. I'd put Philly ahead of them. The Bears.
Oh,
the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings.
Yep.
Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Would you put Arizona ahead of them?
Yep.
You wouldn't put the Rams, 49ers, and I would put the Seahawks.
I wouldn't put the Seahawks ahead of them.
Seahawks are 2-0.
Sure, but if the Bears played the two teams that they played, the Bears could be 2-0.
The Bears should have lost to Tennessee, and they lost to... Yeah.
Could have beaten Houston.
I know it's early, but they're not a threat. They're like I said, they're in the river.
No, they're growing. You know, they're a team that's going to go through their lumps, like the Packers went through their lumps last year.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for them, there could be a lot more better teams in the NFC, and it's going to be tougher for them to get on a hot streak the way the Packers did last year.
Correct.
And no one wants to hear it, but the offense that the Bears should be running should be similar to the one the Packers ran last weekend. Not quite as bad.
And that's been Bear football.
Right, but they...
Is run the ball, play action, throw it when you have to, and go from there.
And you'd think they have the receiver talent to hopefully make a play like you saw Romeo Doubs make.
Yeah.
Like you saw Dontavian Wicks make. Like, the fact, it takes a lot more than just getting the quarterback for a team to be good, and it feels like a lot of people forget that.
Well, no, I mean, they have potentially the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now the quarterback needs to grow.
Yes. And they need the offense to, I mean, everyone's complaining about the offensive line, that's why Big Cat, this original message was out there. When you look at the time to throw and the pressure rates, there's going to be common factors there. When it's time to throw, the guys who take the longest, typically guys like Caleb, Kyler, Josh Allen, and the guys with the highest pressure rates, same exact guys, because what do? They extend plays.
Hold on to the ball, yeah.
So, the offensive line isn't the only reason Caleb Williams is struggling, and that's what they're trying to say here, because they're trying to protect what they said of, like, well, this guy's just going to come in and be great. He's going to be CJ Stroud. Sure.
Will you, if the Bears get on a little bit of a streak here and all these people start coming back at you, are you going to mute your account, delete your account? What are you going to do?
I've already muted all the replies.
Okay.
But, I mean, the good thing for me is most people were mean to Big Cat, not me.
Oh, really?
As much as he has a lot of Bears fans, it was a lot of people being like, hey, Dan, or hey, Big Cat, I think you're off on this one.
Yeah, but listen, look.
You had the Stoolies turning against
him? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
This is the Bears' next 7 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they get hot, who cares?
Right, yes, their schedule's
Colts,
bad.
Rams, Panthers, Jaguars, Commanders, Cardinals, Patriots.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's Fugazi.
Am I right?
It's a terrible schedule.
Yeah, it's horrible.
But if they get hot, I mean, again, early in the season, it's about collecting wins.
Yeah.
That's all this is about right now.
Sure.
They might not face a team that has more than, like, two wins until, like, week 10.
Well, you got the Colts 0-2, you got the Rams 0-2, you got the Panthers 0-2, you got the Jaguars 0-2, you got the Commanders 0-2, and the Cardinals are what, 1-1?
1-1.
Yeah, I'll be fired up.
Yeah. But the thing is, I want them to get fired up. Believe it.
Yeah.
Because when you're in...
And then take it away?
Yes. Because
just have it all come crashing down?
Mm-hmm.
They aren't going to win a game like they won in week one again. Those things don't happen multiple times in a season.
No.
Here's the problem with the Bears, though. They win a lot of games like that.
Yes.
Like, that is a quintessential Bears win my entire lifetime. How did the Bears win? Well, they blocked a punter, had a special teams field goal, and had a defensive touchdown. I bet they've got more games of those than anybody in the league in my lifetime.
Yes.
Where you score defensively and special teams because your quarterback situation stinks so much. Chewy has alluded to it. We're going to get to it. It is time for Power Rankings. That is coming up next. But guys, I am telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, there's only one place to go. You hear us talk about it all the time. Of course, it is the Jewelry Center. Maybe you have an idea. You just want to take a look at the inventory that they have in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. But maybe you're just, I don't know. Go to our Pinterest page. Take some ideas off of that. Bring that in. And the team that they have assembled at the Jewelry Center is always going to be able to point you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, a lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has you covered. Take a look at shoptjc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ryan and McGuadigal weighing in. Hey, if you find something that sucks for 25 years, you hold on to that.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Because usually the sucking only happens before you get married, and then the sucking just stops.
We're going to get fired.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Where the green and gold rank. It is time for Power Rankings.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's Power Rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night? Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
Okay, I've taken a look. I agree with it in whole, but there's a few things that I don't agree with.
There always are.
And that's the information that I'm going to give you right before we start. So give me number 10.
Wait, I'm imagining the Packers aren't in the top 10.
I have spoken.
I don't know what that means.
It means after we get through a few, then he's going to tell us where the Packers are. Because they're close to the top 10, but maybe not quite
in the top 10. I thought we'd do the, they're not in the top 10, so where are they? And I was going to say 12.
Well, yeah, but he waits to see if we guess, to see if they're going to be
see,
in there.
See, he's an agitator, right?
Yeah.
He comes in as a fill-in and tries to take over the
Yeah, that's
the
what
segment.
He does. That's what he does.
I got the Vikings at 10.
I'll say the Buccaneers are 10.
The Seattle Seahawks
are
number 10. 2-0, haven't really beaten anyone good, but the fact that they're 2-0 has got them in the top 10. Give me 9.
I'll say the Bucs again.
Chargers.
The New Orleans Saints
are
2-0. I thought they would be higher. That's one of the things I disagree with. Do you guys feel comfortable guessing where the Packers are at now?
I will say 13 since Josh said 12.
15.
Eh, okay.
Down from 12. I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, there were a lot of teams that were probably below them that have jumped up above them because they're 2-0. Like Seattle and New Orleans leapfrogged them. I'm assuming last week that they were down, but now because New Orleans, so I feel good now that the Buccaneers aren't going to be on this list either, because New Orleans I would have put a little bit higher because they've been the most impressive, surprising 2-0 team because of the way that they're scoring points.
Would it surprise you to learn that Baltimore is 13?
No.
Ahead of the Packers at 0-2 and they look terrible? Those are some of the things.
I don't know if they look terrible. I mean,
they don't look terrible.
Right? Like,
yeah.
they look terrible in one game.
The Raiders, that's a bad loss.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a bad loss.
And really, they look terrible for one quarter.
Yes.
They kind of let one quarter slip away from them.
All right, eight.
I'm going to stick with the Chargers.
Okay.
Give them another goal.
Chargers. I am going to say... Where's a 1-1 team I can slide into here? I am going to... Miami's probably not going to be there. I'll go with the Dallas Cowboys.
The Los Angeles Chargers are number eight. Is Jim better coach than John? I mean, you'd have to say right now.
Sure, but they went head-to-head in the Super Bowl and John won.
Yeah, sure. But you're only as good as your last game. That's what we used to say. I don't know what it means, but
so
that's what we used to say. Jim's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying Jim's not, good. But Jim wears out his welcome quickly.
Oh, sure, exactly.
That's the problem with Jim.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jim could never do what John has done and be at a place for over a decade.
Yes. You know who Jim is? Jim's Rudy. Means well, but you're annoying. Am I right? Is that fair, John?
I find him very annoying.
I think Jim or Rudy?
Why not both?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Why not both?
Seven.
I think Gabe wrote off the Buccaneers too soon. I'm putting the Bucs here.
I'll put the Steelers here.
Josh is running away. Tampa Bay Bucs, number seven.
Wait, you would go Bucs ahead of Saints right now?
I wouldn't. I would not. Those are the little things I'm talking about.
I would not know, but I just thought they've played too well to not be on the list.
Yeah.
Especially with the Ravens off the list.
The Bucs look good, man. Their defense is
defense better than you thought.
Solid. Yeah. Their defense is really good. The offense is what it is. I mean, they got players. It's just it all depends on Baker, and I think Baker's pretty good. And I tell you this, much like Brett, I think their players love playing for Baker.
Oh, I would buy that.
Yeah,
I would think buy they that.
Do. Six.
Eagles.
And they just lost, though, at home. I will say the Detroit Lions.
Philadelphia freedom. That's what Frank used to say. Gabe, you are getting worked like a fiddle.
Good to see that Jen forwarded off her email to Joshy.
Wow. He can see my screen from here.
That's true. He can see that.
Yeah.
I have my list written down here.
Josh, who we got at five?
This one I have no idea what to do with. It feels like I would put the Texans here, but I can also see them going 2-0 teams need to be the top four. I'm going to say Texans.
I'll say the Lions.
Gabe's on the board. Detroit Lions are number five. They did not look very good, especially Goff. I think it's that defense, though. Tampa Bay's D is...
I mean, he still threw for over 300 yards. Again, they screwed themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they very easily could have won that game because instead of needing a touchdown late, they should have only needed a field goal late because Campbell sent out the field goal unit when they were trying to spike it, and they didn't get a field goal at the end of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Is him crying going to get old for them? He's got a lot of tears there. And it's always,
he's
I made mistakes.
Like Dick Vermeil.
I was about to say, Dick Vermeil used to cry at that. If you're bought in, like, seriously, though, but if you're bought in, you're bought in. Like, it's not going to get old for them. They just know that's part of the deal.
Is that a condition, you think? I mean, everything's a condition these days.
I think people are
crying
just more
at the
emotional.
Drop of a hat. Is that a condition?
I think he just revs so high that it has to come out
somewhere.
Yeah,
like he's just,
doesn't he take massive amount of caffeine during a day?
When you're describing the espresso shots as boom, boom, and then he's drinking like a 32-ounce coffee on top of that, there's a lot going in. It's got to get out somehow.
I think if it doesn't come out as enthusiasm, it just comes out as sadness.
You're crashing. Yeah. You got to crash. You got to come down, man.
Yeah. Four.
I guess I'm putting the Texans here.
San Francisco.
Josh, he's closed it out. Houston is four. Three.
I'll say they punished San Fran by putting him here.
Yeah.
San Fran is three. Two.
A-O. Buffalo.
Disagree with that wholeheartedly.
What? The Bills could be 13-0, yes. And Chewy's like, nah, frauds.
Is it because I'm wrong? Is it?
I'm glad you're realizing it in real time.
Is that it? I mean, why do I not like Buffalo? I mean, it's,
you don't like
it's,
Josh
it's,
Allen.
It's Green Bay
yeah,
light.
Yeah, no, you just don't
it's
like
Green Bay light. It's a one great wings. It's a fun city.
Yeah, for whatever reason, you don't like Josh Allen. I don't know why, but you don't like
Josh
Allen.
I don't dislike the guy. I just think he's a little overrated. Maybe it's the style of he plays. I just don't think it's sustainable.
Even though he's been sustaining it for 5 years.
Uh-huh. Good point. Yeah. And one.
Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wrong. The Colts. Does that make you feel better, Josh?
Uh-huh.
Are the Chiefs better than they were last year? I got Chiefs fatigue, though.
Yeah, you? Look, they're really good. Yeah. They don't care. They don't give a rip during the regular season. They're throwing touchdown passes to offensive linemen. They get bored. That's the only reason the game against Cincinnati was close is because they're bored. Yeah. Andy Andy and Patrick Mahomes saw Cam Taylor-Britt matched up against Xavier Worthy, and that corner was talking trash earlier in the week, so they decided to take a shot, and, well, ended up being the interception of the week.
Minnesota's 11, and the Bears are Dallas 14. I didn't think that was fair. I mean, that's still a good win against Cleveland. In Cleveland, yeah.
Yeah, you give up 40 points at home, though.
Where are the Bears? The Bears. The Bears. The Bears. The Bears. The Bears. Did I miss? It's 26.
Our offense has been real bad.
Yeah, okay.
Real stinky.
There you have it. That was good. We can win with that.
So you agree with basically the 10 teams that were in there, you would just reorder them a
I don't think
little
the Packers
bit.
Should be 15. I would have kept them at 12.
Okay, yeah, winning with your backup quarterback, yeah. Like this should count for something.
Sure, I agree.
Instead of dropping three spots.
They got Pittsburgh at 12.
12.
I guess that's fair.
It's Mike
know.
Tomlin, man.
Yeah.
Russ might not have a job, huh?
Is this it for him?
Unless he wants to be a backup. But he's just too much of a look at me to be a backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Justin Fields is doing exactly what they want him to do.
Yeah.
Grind out wins mm-hmm. by scoring less than 20 points. Don't make mistakes.
Yeah. Don't make mistakes. Yep. Every once in a while, a play's going to be uh-huh. there. Make it, whether it's with your legs or, I mean, he had a great one to George Pickens last week. Yeah. He's doing exactly what they want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 2-0. I don't know how you go away from it.
Yeah.
Despite him not winning that job. Passing touchdowns way down across the league. Why does the big guy think that is? Duke, that is coming up next year on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But the next edition of Behind the Bucks is here. Bucks Plus Audio Network. It's presented by Gallagher. Buck stars share their experiences from competing on the world's biggest stage, the Olympics. From battling against Bucks teammates to teaming up with fierce rivals, all for the glory of a gold medal. Behind the Bucks offers unique access and deep storytelling for Bucks fans unlike ever before. Presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant. Find it at Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen, has college football gotten a little sleazy? Where you can recruit
gotten?
A little? No, I'm saying from the standpoint... It used to be. That was good.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Chewy, we have known that these first few weeks of the preseason, or the regular season, I should say, are kind of like the preseason, because not a lot of people play.
Mm-mm.
But there was a stat that was sent out there that I saw from Steve Palazzolo, formerly of Pro Football Focus. And I want to know what you make of this. Passing touchdowns through the first 2 weeks. In 2019, there were 105. 2020, 2021, 110. 2022, 105. Last year, it dropped down to 86. And then in the tweet, it said 2024, 66. That was pending Monday Night Football. There were three last night. So through 2 weeks, only 69 passing touchdowns league-wide. Again, down 41 from its height in 2020 and 2021 at 110. Is this just all purely because nobody is taking the preseason seriously and everybody's kind of easing into us? Why do you think passing touchdowns have been down so dramatically over the last 2 weeks?
I don't think it's just preseason games. I think it's the way they practice. I mean, they're very rarely in pads. My guess is team is, I mean, thud for us is what you call it. It's basically wrapping up, don't bring anyone to the ground, was pretty intense. I don't think it's intense anymore. And when you're running in training camp, you know, just routes on air and one-on-one and seven-on-seven, that's not an accurate depiction of what happens out there on the field, you know? I just think they take all that stuff away. Because we used to go hard. I mean, we used to, I don't know how many padded practices we had, but we had a lot, and we went team a lot. So there was confusion all around. There's D-line rushing. There's things. When you don't do that a lot or you do it, you know, 70%, it's just a huge difference. Even back when we played, it took us 3-4 weeks where our offense was gelling because it's all timing. Mm-hmm. It's all timing, quarterback getting to his feel, knowing what guys are going to, how they're going to run a route when they're jammed at the line. That's all part of it. I don't think they get a depiction of that in training camp, not only preseason games, and that's why I think it takes a little longer for the offenses to catch up. That'd be my guess.
Jason, you have a headset on. Jason Wilde, three-time sports writer of the year. Wilde and Tausch coming up here in about 15 minutes, gracing us with his presence in the one call, That's All Gruber Law Offices Studios.
First of all, gracing, I'm not sure. Hey, can you hear me better than you could when I was north of Sheboygan?
Loud and clear, brother.
I didn't want to crash your show. I was just going to work on my...
No, we're going to stretch you out, okay?
Okay,
this is
good.
The stretch before your show.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm getting loose. Is scoring down or no?
I do believe scoring is down. I would have to imagine it's down. Although maybe the New Orleans Saints are doing their best to score more points for everybody.
I struggle with this conversation because, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier in the show when I was on the first time, like the Jeff Hafley defense that I think we all believe it will eventually look a lot better than what the Joe Barry defense looked like. The struggling to stop the run, the not rushing the passer because you got two mobile quarterbacks that you faced. I am of the belief that had Jeff Hafley and Matt LaFleur allowed their defensive players, their starters, to A, play, and B, run their stuff in preseason the way Dom Capers did with B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews and all those guys in 09, they would be much further along through two games. So it would stand to reason that offenses, especially with a lot of offenses with different offensive coordinators, would be further along than they are had they played. But again, between the risk and the hiding things, now teams are even hiding things and going vanilla in the joint practices, which goes back to what Aaron Rodgers' argument had been in 2019, that it defeats the purpose of the joint practices. So unless, I don't understand why you would do that if you're practicing with a team that you're not going to play in the regular season. I would hope there'd be a gentleman's agreement. You don't share any of the film, and then you can actually get some stuff done, but apparently not.
How much should we be putting on the too high shell stuff and the fact that like teams now are taking the run more than they used to, well, at least in recent memory? Teams will just run the ball more and more and more with Kyle Shanahan and those style offenses taking off. Like, do we think the defenses have something to do with it, or is it simply timing and not? I mean, also, there's not very good quarterbacks playing right now with the rookies and some of the guys.
True every year, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are rookie quarterbacks that start that are terrible every year. That's just part of, I mean, how this goes. I mean, I off the top of my head, do I know who was starting as a rookie in 2021 that wasn't very good when they were 110, well, not in 2021.
Oh, gotcha.
Because last year they're only 86.
He's actually the answer to every yeah. year when a quarterback does not rookie quarterback.
You know, 2021 when there are 110 pass, you know, touchdown passes thrown. I mean, to me, rookie quarterbacks and bad quarterbacks, that's just part of what the NFL is.
Yeah.
That doesn't explain that to me.
Right, and we're not, you're talking about a stat from the first 2 weeks. Josh brought up earlier the number of different quarterbacks. It was 68 different starters in 2022, 66 different starters last year. Like, when you get later into the season, that's when the drop in quarterback play really starts to factor into it. I don't have a good answer for you, Josh, other than the Shanahan, LaFleur, McVay offense has proliferated to such a point that I would think defenses are starting to figure out how to at least handle some of that, if not completely neutralize it. And that's going to be, you know, Chewy knows this, the league is cyclical, and eventually, you know, we're going to get back to Tampa 2, we're going to get, like, all that stuff because of all these different innovations offensively.
Did we overhype Quay Walker?
I am reserving judgment on Quay Walker until we're further into this season in a system that they believe suits him very well. But going back to the conversation about the run game that we had earlier, the run defense, he has to be better. If he is better, they don't have a 100-yard rusher for the second straight week. He is still finding himself.
He does not feel like he should be a guy playing in the middle.
Well, Ron Cox is still available. I saw Bernardo Harris at Alumni Day on Sunday.
What about get out of here, Koontz? He's just in Fond du Lac.
Doesn't Quay provide even a bigger issue because he's the green dot? So you what do you do if he's the fourth best middle linebacker? Well, you're kind of stuck, right?
I mean, if we're being honest, though, I mean, he's not the fourth best. Do you feel like Isaiah McDuffie is appreciably better? Mm-mm. No, but I bet he's more assignment sure.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he played for Halfley at BC. He's the one guy that has a background.
Yeah.
Edgerrin Cooper, you know, we talked about him the other day that they put him in the game in Brazil. He lines up wrong and it leads to a touchdown run and then they have to bench him and then they put him back in. I mean, look, I asked this question of LaFleur yesterday. And I said, I understand that this isn't middle school basketball, which is, you know, an area that I know a little bit expert. About. Not much. No, you did not hear me say that. I did not say expert by any
means. I heard
means.
Josh say it, though.
But they are playing a lot of guys. Like, they're splitting snaps now with Valentine and Eric Stokes, who actually played fewer than Valentine did. They're running through a bunch of defensive linemen and rotating through there. I'm sure the next step is to get Tyron Hopper some snaps in some way at linebacker. So they're apparently willing to do that, so everyone's contributing and they're getting young guys up to speed. But the bottom line is, it's not like they have great alternatives at this point anyway to Quay Walker, and I'm not saying that they should find an alternative to him just yet either.
John texts in 800-990-3776. So sick of the Quay hate. He leads the team in tackles practically every game. Look.
Yeah, you know what the Mike's linebacker is supposed to do? You know what he's supposed to do?
Right.
Lead the team in tackles every game.
And I don't think it's hate. I'm saying be patient with him before you get too critical. I don't know how bad Chewy's been. But look, the expectations are different. Okay? That's what A.J. Hawk lived with throughout his career. He led him in tackles every year. Was that good enough as the fifth overall pick?
Led the franchise in tackles in its history. Has the most tackles in franchise history.
But Blake Martinez, a fourth-round pick, leading them in tackles every year. I'm sorry, you are defined by your splash plays as a linebacker. Yeah. Everyone makes tackles as linebackers. I don't think it's Quay hate. I think it is Quay expectation.
Yes.
And at this point, he needs to do more to meet those expectations. And frankly, you know, we talked to him on Friday. Was it John that texted that in?
Yes.
John, I'm here to tell you that Quay Walker expects more from Quay Walker. He admitted that he didn't do a good enough job fitting up in the run game in Brazil. And I would say that he still is working to be better at that. I don't think it's hate, but it is expectation when you're drafted where, you know, I didn't expect a damn thing from the sixth round pick from
and you didn't BC, for 3 years.
Right. But let's be honest, even what's going on at tight end right now, right? Like, I'm feeling better and better about my comp to this guy with Tucker Kraft. And Tausch is going to owe me an apology because there was still a 25 snap discrepancy from this game between Kraft and Musgrave.
Well, the reason for that
and they
is
ran
obvious.
A bunch of two tight ends.
Well, the reason for that to me is obvious. They trust him in terms of Tucker Kraft blocking more than they do Musgrave.
Unquestionably.
And when you're running, and when you're running 50 plus run plays,
yeah,
right,
yeah, you want the guy who can block.
But the
out
week
there.
Before, it was 64-17.
Yeah,
and Steno tried to explain it as, well, we just, you know, we forgot, or we didn't do a good job
sure.
of managing snaps. I come on. I mean, I love Steno, but come on, man.
You guys are smarter than that.
I mean, some of us are. I don't know if I am.
What is the Brewers' magic number? We'll answer that question. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months.
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The magic number down to two for your Milwaukee Brewers. Two games, that's the number. They win tonight, Cubs lose tonight. They have clinched the National League Central Division. Played well last night, really playing well in a stretch here, but kind of dug themselves a hole trying to chase down the Phillies and or Dodgers for one of those top playoff spots in the National League and trying to get themselves by. Kind of got a sweep. Got to win tonight. Got to win tomorrow, I think, in order to give yourself a chance of chasing down the Phillies or Dodgers.
And then are they at Arizona? Home?
So they were just at Arizona. Okay. Philadelphia tonight, tomorrow, and then four against the Diamondbacks here in Milwaukee.
All right. Time to turn it on.
Jason Wilde is right here. He is in Milwaukee for Wilde and Tausch. That is coming your way next, 94.5 ESPN.